is Governor Richard Lamb of Colorado, who has been dubbed Governor Gloom because, remarkably, he keeps on telling the voters what they don't want to hear.
I think that we have assumed that God is an American and watches over us in some way. But God, you know, one of the reasons that you read history is that God isn't on the side of any one country, that nations rise and nations fall. I think we are going to face some sort of economic Pearl Harbor here in the next 3 or 4 years, some sort of trauma that I think perhaps America can rally around that will cause a great deal of social and economic and political unrest.
When you say social, political, and economic unrest, that sounds like violence.
I mean, America isn't immune to the kind of diseases that have faced all the rest of the world.
Straight-talking Richard Lamb is 48 years old and halfway through his third term. He calls upon Americans to practice the politics of retrenchment, cutback. Not so much cutbacks on social programs for the poor. Instead, he goes right after the middle class, civil servants, people in the military.
It's always easy to pick on the welfare people, but you've got to pick on you and I, Mike. You've got to pick on the middle class pensions, the middle class Social Security, the middle class Medicare. Those are the ones that are really running up the federal deficit. And I think that there's an overwhelming case that health care is out of control. We can't spend $12,000 a second on health care, $40 million an hour, without really running into trouble, which is rising 2.5 times the rate of inflation. Our pension system seem to be very clearly in trouble. The federal government borrows 25 cents out of every dollar that it spends. It doesn't take an Old Testament prophet to all of a sudden say that these things are going to lead us astray.
Honorable Richard E. Lamb, Governor of Colorado.
We filmed this Democrat talking to some Republicans, businessmen. And on this occasion, he's zeroed in on two professions he says are bankrupting America, doctors and lawyers.
There's a Mexican curse that they use in Mexico that says, may your life be filled with lawyers. We've got 2/3 of all the lawyers in the world, you know, practice in the United States. We got one lawyer for every 400 people. Japan has one lawyer for every 10,000 people. And lawyers, and I'm a lawyer and I'm proud of it, but we litigate an existing pie. We don't make the pie grow bigger. Doctors the same way. 85% of all doctors are specialists. Figure that every doctor that gets out of medical school can punch a yearly ticket of $225,000 against the healthcare system. That's what they figure. So just when we went into Grenada, what did we do? We found a bunch of people training in Grenada at a medical school. We went in to save them, supposedly.
Yesterday, in front of all those Republican businessmen, you said something about too many doctors. Can you imagine going into Grenada to save the people who were learning to be doctors at the medical school down there? Now, your tongue got ahead of your mind, or you meant what you said?
I meant what I said. I believe that we ought to have 10% shrinkage of all law schools and all medical schools in America. And I would do that right here. We ought to be training engineers and geophysicists rather than lawyers and doctors. The number of specialists and the number of doctors are costing us as a society so much money that we're going to have a bankrupt society with a great medical machine.
And that, he says, was what he was really talking about when he suggested some months back that the terminally ill might have a duty to die.
No longer does really nature take its course, but now a vast array of machines and resuscitators and pumps and intravenous feedings, in fact, in many instances torture us in our last moments rather than allowing us to die naturally. I think this is the next civil rights movement, as a matter of fact. The next liberation movement would be to allow people, in fact, to have some control over their own destiny rather than have lawyers, doctors, and the miracles of modern science force life on us when, in fact, it's time to go.
He is no less candid in his views about a variety of modern medical miracles. How many Barney Clarks can we afford? Unquote, Richard Lamb. What does that mean?
I don't think that we can afford all of the high technology medicine that we have right now, let alone the bionic man that we stand on the threshold of.
In other words, say, hey, forget about artificial hearts. I mean, we have more important things to do than artificial hearts. Is that what you're saying?
The fact is, if this country's going to survive, we have to be realistic. We now are spending 10.5 cents out of every dollar in America on health care, and we cannot afford to give everyone an unlimited right to artificial parts.
Who is this know-it-all, this doomsayer, and how come he thinks he knows so much about so many things? He says he began to think about all this when he and his wife traveled to Asia and Latin America 20 years ago.
Thanks, Darren.
The biggest trauma, I think, that in my life as my wife and I going to India and really seeing what has happened when you have a country two-thirds the size of the United States with 500 million people, seeing people dying on the streets. There's nothing like stepping over dead bodies that rivets your mind.
Those foreign voyages of discovery turned Lamb into an advocate of birth control and zero population growth. As a result, when he was a freshman Colorado legislator back in 1967, he authored the first successful state law in the nation legalizing abortion. And the dangers of overpopulation have led him to make harsh judgments about some countries in the third world.
I believe that there are places like Bangladesh where those are not developing countries, and that there was it's a mistake, it's a misnomer, that in fact those are never to be developed countries, that there is no happy scenario that can come out of some of those very poor third world countries.
You know, there's a certain similarity in what you say about those never to be developed countries and those never to be developed individuals. The young, for instance, you say, and I know that you're sensitive about this. What's the point, you say, of spending $10,000 or $15,000 on a mentally retarded child, desperately mentally retarded child, just so that at the end of 3 or 4 years, that child can roll over?
I think it's the politics of reality, but let me try to make the case. God made some mistakes, and I believe that there's a range of developmentally disabled. But Mike, we have situations now where it isn't a matter of a reading disability, or it isn't a matter of a minor learning handicap, or even a major learning handicap. But under this federal law, what we have is almost an absolute obligation to spend maybe $10,000 or $20,000 a year on certain of these tragedies that in fact they have, let's say, an IQ of 10. And it's completely wasted money. In other words, we have to combine hard heads with soft hearts.
Despite stands that have alienated the Right to Life movement and some Catholics over abortion, the handicapped because he opposes wheelchair lifts on public transportation, traditional Democrats like teachers because he wants to make it easier to fire them, despite all this, Democrat Richard Lamb has served longer than any other governor in Colorado history. Bo Calloway is chairman of the Colorado Republican Party.
Our polls do show he's the most popular politician in Colorado.
But gloomy politicians, and people call him Governor Gloom, are not supposed to succeed. First of all, they're supposed to tell what the voter wants to hear, and he doesn't. And if you're a crape hanger, you're not supposed to get elected.
Well, there's something about the personality. If I knew what it was, again, I would sure like to know. But he is very popular. I keep thinking that it won't last, that sooner or later these things will catch up.
How important is Mrs. Lamb in his political life and on the political scene here?
Very important. Really? Everybody in Colorado likes Dottie. I like Dottie. We're good friends, and I don't see her much, but I mean, I like her. I like what she does. She's good for Colorado. I think the people of Colorado like Dottie Lamb. She's an important part of this team.
Dottie Lamb is the mother of two teenagers. She's a former stewardess, a former social worker. We filmed her as she recorded a public service announcement as First Lady of Colorado.
I'm Dottie Lamb, and I know how important the mature worker is to Colorado. Isn't that right, Dick?
I couldn't agree more.
An ardent feminist, she writes a regular column for the Denver Post, mostly on women's issues, and hosts a TV interview show. And she does not spare her husband when she feels he has gone too far.
Occasionally, I wish that he would put something a little different way. I don't ever wish that he would not speak out.
Can you imagine that we have to spend $10,000 or $15,000 a year to teach a retarded child to turn over? Mm-hmm. I'm told that embarrassed Mrs. Lamb, and Dottie Lamb let Richard Lamb know.
That's true. That certainly did get attention to the issue. I would not have phrased it that way. I'm a social worker. I've worked with parents who have these children.
Do you ever sit there and say, hey, is this dummy going to say that and embarrass us all over again?
I don't think I've thought that. I have sometimes read in the paper the next day when I haven't been to a speech and seen the way he has couched something, the words he's used, and I've thought, ugh.
While Governor Lamb frequently hits the headlines for his provocative pronouncements, his administration has enjoyed general approval from the Colorado electorate, and there hasn't been a hint of financial scandal after a decade in office. The Lambs ruefully acknowledge, in fact, that public office has meant a personal financial loss to them. So, to spread his message and earn some extra income,
Richard Lamb retires to his attic office to write speeches and some freelance articles. His favorite topic? Gloomy predictions about the shape of things to come.
1994, according to Richard Lamb. Interest rates will be over 25%, right? Gold will sell for $2,000 an ounce. Inflation, double digit. Japan will be the world's largest economic power. Social Security will be bankrupt. Utility bills too high for the average worker to pay. Medicare will be bankrupt. Those unable to pay for high-tech treatment will be turned away. 1994 will see a revolution in the workplace.
I believe every one of those. I hope I'm wrong, believe me, and I recognize my own fallibility. But I believe that the current trends make all of those, in fact, predictions that are within the, not only the plausible, but the probable.
Governor Lamb also predicts bitter wars between men and women, black and white, between native-born and new arrival. Wars over jobs. He says it's inevitable.
In fact, we got robots making robots. We've got computers designing computers. And in the new workplace that we're moving into, that we're going to have a job crunch that is going to set black against white, men against women, young against old. That is
Governor Lamb says there's at least one way we can avoid some of these potential catastrophes. Stop illegal immigration of millions, principally from the third world. During the time of the Cuban exodus, the Mariel boat lift, he said the inscription on the Statue of Liberty should be changed to, "Give me your pimps and your prostitutes."
It was right. Have you seen the crime statistics on the, in the Mariel boat lift? When our grandparents came here, I mean, you know, there was an empty continent. We had 60 million people in this great country when the Statue of Liberty was put up. We now have 236 million people. We got 30% unemployed in blacks and Hispanic youth. We've got 20% unemployed in all of our youth. We have a massive problem just finding jobs for our own kids. I think we all feel a certain amount of uncomfortableness with the idea that America can no longer absorb all of the world's homeless. I don't define the world as I want it to be, Mike. I try to deal with it as I find it to be. This world wasn't made by Walt Disney. It was made, in fact, by very cruel forces that we have at work out there. The question in immigration isn't ethnicity, it isn't race, it's numbers.
And those numbers of immigrants, says Lamb, will increase because numerous Latin American countries are on the verge of revolution and the refugees will want to come here. Lamb talks of Colorado, of the U.S. He talks foreign policy, too. But he says he has no plans to seek national office.
Look, Ronald Reagan's out there, and Fritz Moldale's out there, and they're telling America something, and it's a lot different from what Richard Lamb is telling.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
They've been nominated. What are you doing, sort of running a rump campaign for president here?
Well, I think that with due respect to both of them, I suspect that it's awfully hard to run for president on my platform. Very few people have made a career out of promising a half a chicken in every pot. If I really was going to plot a political career in the last 15 years, I've done the most politically stupid things. You know, you don't make a political career out of attacking the Statue of Liberty, motherhood, and the Olympic rings.
Plus labor unions, teachers, the Catholic Church.
That. Well, I recognize that, but
there seems an almost self-conscious seeking of controversy by Richard Lamb.
I don't think that I'm particularly seeking controversy, but I think that all of our answers today have hard solutions, have controversial solutions. I believe that political pablum that have historically politicians have given are not adequate to the problems of our time, and I believe we're faced with a series of hard choices, and that means controversy.